Hiya. Thank you. Still rocks. Okay, let's pray. Lord, knit all this together. We just open our hands to you and say more of what you're doing. And keep doing it, Lord, today. Amen. Nice one. Okay, there we go. More of the Holy Spirit. That was a phrase that came through loud and clear last week, actually, in the testimonies that you heard from different people. And so I'm just going to pick up on that. I just want to say at the start, this is kind of, it's quite holy ground today, isn't it? And it makes me really nervous and that I may derail this, so less of me. And my prayer is just that I can be another part in this today. I really am preaching out of weakness, or talking to you out of weakness. You know, I haven't got all the answers. I can only share my heart to you this morning. I can only share my walk, my testimony, my kind of journey in this Holy Spirit thing. And I'm looking right now at people that have got much greater weight of testimony and gifting than me in this area. But I've got something laid on my heart, so I'm going to share it with you. And I pray that it does help you. I'm looking around here. I'm trying to clock people as I look around. I'm not trying to stare you out or anything, but I'm just trying to work out who I'm talking to here. My heart when I was preparing this was a little bit more for the younger people. Now, please include yourself in younger if you're young in spirit. I wasn't really thinking of teenagers, but I was thinking perhaps people, this is going to sound so corny, of my age or younger-ish. So it's not that young, is it? I'm thinking perhaps those that weren't brought up in the tradition of, or that kind of great wave that kind of swept the church in the kind of 90s, you know, and I just about caught that when I first came to Bethel, but a lot of you guys, in a sense, haven't been part of that tradition, and I'm talking particularly to you. I think I'm also talking to people that are perhaps feeling a little bit disconnected with what you've seen and heard over the last couple of weeks. Those perhaps have been a little bit disappointed in their walk in the Holy Spirit, perhaps almost despairing that it's ever their thing. They'll ever really experience this engagement. So, you know, I hope I do speak to you. And like everything, really, whenever I get out of here, I guess when anyone gets out here, you're just talking to yourself. And that's all I'm really doing. And so if it gets a bit kind of testimonial, will you allow me to do that? I'm just going to ramble on about my walk in the Spirit and what it means. And for me, I love that phrase, more of the Spirit. Like I said, I'm looking at people who have got a greater weight of gifting in this area. But I was thinking of like a diamond today. And you know when you look at a diamond, just depends what angle you're looking at to see a different glint. And I'm just holding up the Holy Spirit. I'm just holding up, you know, the person of the Godhead and saying, my journey has been, I'm seeing it at this angle. I'm seeing it glinting. And I just want to share my angle. My angle is going to be different to other people's angles. But I think the outcome is the same. We all want more of the Holy Spirit. We all want to be walking, to be constantly filled in the Holy Spirit. So the next slide, Dave, is just a kind of five or so statements that I can really adhere to that are close to my heart when I think of the Holy Spirit, some of which have been picked up in the last few weeks as well. So number one, and this comes from Pauline and Keith actually from last week, there must be more than this. And I think that's an authentic cry of a born-again Christian. That's the mark of the Holy Spirit in itself, that you've got this kind of holy, eternal longing for more. I think I've used a phrase in the past, it's kind of holy discontentment. You're satisfied, but you're not satisfied. It's the kind of here and now, and it's the future, all kind of packaged into one. And it's okay to want more. It's not somehow somehow saying that you haven't got it all in Christ. It isn't a judgment on your faith to say, I want more. And that's what Pauline said. You actually said, Pauline, last week, there must be more than this. That was the phrase I wrote down. And Keith, you said, we just can't come to terms the way it is. We must not be content. There is more in Christ. We cannot be satisfied as it is. So that's the cry of more. And yet you almost see this kind of paradox in the second point there. You know, we want more, and yet we have everything in Christ. And this is, it almost feels like it's a contradiction, but it's not. But I mean, the way I phrase it was, we have everything in Christ, but there is more to be taken and received. There's something of us partaking in this as well, isn't there? There's more to be taken and received. There's a more powerful, fuller experience to be had. And therefore, if that's true, the third bullet point must be true as well. And this is quite sobering and quite challenging to us, isn't it? We're as full of the Spirit as we want to be, basically. We're as full of the Spirit as we have desire of the Spirit. This stream, this from the eternal throne, is never-ending. This river is flowing. And how much do we want? And I picked up on a quote from Oswald Chambers, which you can see there as well. The fullness of the Spirit is not just a question of us getting more of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit can get more of us. And there's a kind of two-way flow thing going on here. It's kind of inward, but it's also how much are we going to let out? My firm belief is that as a born-again Christian, we have everything in Christ. There is the kind of spiritual rebirth there. How much are we going to let flow out from us? And how much do we kind of stunt or put a block in? And my take on this is, it's not a one-off experience. It's a constant infilling. I personally like the phrase being filled with the Spirit, because for me that's kind of a constant thing. And I noticed actually, a bit after Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the same disciples were in the room again, and in Acts 4, they again were filled with the Spirit. This thing of kind of constantly. And for some of us, it may be helpful to see it as a constant refilling, and not just seeking a one-off experience, because one-off is for us, but it's also, you know, that can become history for us, can't it? Well, in 1965, you know, I had experience of the Spirit, I was baptized in the Spirit. Well, what about today? Well, you know, what about every day? Do you know my go-to text? And Dave, you want to go into the next slide. My go-to text for trying to journey into the Holy Spirit, and my journey, my very slow journey, can I just say that? My wish for you is that you get to the point much quicker than I do. I'm standing here, what, 1992 I became a Christian. What's that, 24 years ago? That's a long time. Yeah, but it's a long time, and it's also, it's taken me so long to really experience anything of the Holy Spirit. And my wish for you is to go faster. But for me, my understanding has grown, and the Lord has kind of revealed to me Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, so I just want to kind of look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's keep it there, Dave, don't go forward. Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about all the things we have in Christ. The first part of the chapter is all those great inheritances we have. And we've heard that phrase, inheritance, today. All that is ours when we become a Christian. And I've listed just a few of those there. You can see them, I don't need to read them. All of those are in historical past tense. And it's written in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. The past tense is like, it's done and dusted past tense. Okay? Job done, that's yours. And then, Dave, we can go to the next click. The tense changes. And it becomes, to kind of chuck a kind of Greek tense to you, it becomes a subjunctive text. And if you go to Ephesians, you'll notice the next four things that are ours, all preceded by the word may. Okay? So, that you may have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is Paul's prayer for us. You may know him better. You may know the hope, the glorious inheritance, and his incomparably great power. And it's almost saying that's the bit that's the kind of experience, the revelation. That's the bit we have to kind of enter into. And, thanks, David, one more click. If you look at the start of verse 14, it flows with the phrase, for this reason. So we're in Christ and have all this, and for this reason, naturally flowing from it. It's not an add-on. It's not a kind of, in a sense, an additional thing. It should be our natural, normal Christian experience to flow into that thing. And I love the word flow. For me, when I understand being filled with the Spirit, for me, it's about flow. It's about that stream from that river, that eternal river just flowing through me and me not stopping it. I've got myself in a right pickle over the years. Because I saw the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or saw this experience of the Holy Spirit as something kind of out there that would come to me. Now, that may be true, and I'm not theologically going to kind of debate the point, but for me, when I first became a Christian, and I was in the kind of heritage years of Stoneleigh, you know, when the kind of the Holy Spirit really was manifesting itself around the world, Toronto, Stoneleigh, all those stuff, and I would go up to every single meeting, and I would be out the front for those first 2 years, and I would be desperate for this baptism in the Holy Spirit. For me, in those first 2 years, it didn't come. And my understanding was almost that I was looking for something from the outside to somehow just come into me. I've got to say also what I was looking for was somehow a validation that God loved me. In other words, I was going up for all the wrong reasons, probably. You know, as a kind of young Christian, God, if you could just zap me, if you could just, look, people around me are falling to their, you know, just falling to their knees. They're kind of, all these men, if I could just have that would really mean that I'm accepted as a Christian. And that was my mindset. Thank God, he was gracious and a good father. It didn't happen. Maybe he knew best at that time. Maybe he knew best. 2 years later, I'm going off target here, but don't worry. Can you click on? Just one more as well. Cheers. We're getting on to my testimony. My testimony is of that manifesting in my life. This is the Holy Spirit working, and it took 15 long years for that kind of progression to get to me. And all of that I see as a mark of the Holy Spirit. So when you're looking for more of the Holy Spirit, don't limit it to what other people's gifts are. That was the song, wasn't it? You know, don't look to other people's gifts. Look, the Holy Spirit is God, and he will deal with you as he deals with you and give you gifts as he will deal with you in his timing. And for me, that was my journey. And actually, it's a slow journey. But the point I'm trying to make is when I got to Stoneleigh year three, a great preacher called C.J. Mahaney was, do you remember him? Yeah, he's a good one, a good American guy, really funny. And he was preaching, and he did a preach on the Holy Spirit. And he started off by saying, don't look for God to prove his acceptance of you by receiving the Holy Spirit. I thought, he's talking to me. He's just nailed it. And he went to talk about the cross, talk about how it's all in the cross. And from that, everything flows, including the Holy Spirit. And he said, I seem to remember him saying, I'm really off target here. I have no idea where I am. I'm just going to carry on. He says something like, you are loved as you're going to be loved. You are a sinner, a total depraved sinner, and yet you are loved. And a penny dropped for me. I was going to be no more loved today than there was tomorrow. And then he went on to say, who wants to receive the Holy Spirit? So I went up again. Now, it would be a great end to this story today if I was to say, right then, I was zapped off my feet, I had this overwhelming experience, but it wasn't then. But something weird happened. I got home and didn't feel any different at all, but over the next few days, just occasionally, when I would wake up, just occasionally, I'm not saying this happened a lot, because I wanted an authentic experience. I didn't want someone else's experience. I wasn't going to just talk in tongues because everyone else was. You know, I wanted it to be real, and I wanted it to be actually kind of not emotional, but I wanted to engage my heart. Because surely the Holy Spirit, if he's God, will overwhelm and engage me. But what started to happen over the next year, really, was occasionally I'd wake up and there'd be kind of like a bubbling occasionally of just a kind of few words, a tongue. It would be there for a few seconds and it would go. I thought, this is real. I can relate to this. I'm waking up praising God. And it was just a kind of, and again, it was like water flow. This flow naturally from what C.J. Mahaney had said is you're loved. Everything in the cross. Don't look for anything more to have God's acceptance. And bit by bit, I had that little flow. And so for me, for the first 5 years, all it was about was, Gary, you're a sinner. You don't deserve anything, but look at God's love for you. And I believe that's a huge mark of the Holy Spirit. Don't underestimate, don't put that down. If that's where you are and God speaks to you about sin and grace, praise God for it. You know, you are being filled with the Holy Spirit. That is a mark of the Holy Spirit. Where am I? Okay, I think I know where I am. I'm now 25 years old, a little bit more mature and wise. Can I share this bit? This is the next stage down for me. This is just my testimony. I call it the year of being broken open. A year of being broken open, of being overwhelmed by God, by the Holy Spirit. It was a year of tears. It was actually a blooming painful year, but it was kind of the year of God's healing for me. And it was the year when I actually understood, just for a little bit for the first time, that also the work of the Spirit is to make God known as my dad, as my father. And we see that in Romans 8, don't we? Yeah? We gloss over it, Abba Father. But really, really, I just, you know, for the first time I got a little glimpse of that. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirits that we are God's children. Now, I think this is key. Because my belief, my heart is that I wasn't in a position to receive gifts until I knew my dad, my father. Because it's the Father that gives good gifts. And actually, we often bring into our Christian life quite a stunted view of God as our Father. I certainly did, hugely. And it was debilitating. So don't, again, that's a work of the Spirit. You know, that often is a work of tears and of brokenness and being open to kind of receiving that kind of God hug, I suppose. Can I tell you what I learned in that year at the wise old age of 25? Because I want to share this, because this is not about just my testimony. I want to share what I learned. I believe they're keys, actually. This is the year when I opened myself up to more of the Spirit. And when I look back, there was kind of three things that I believe were important to that. One was being open to kind of what I call physical praise and worship, a much deeper experience of praise and worship, which involved my body. Until that time, I've said this before to you, until that time, I was a cool dude in church. Yeah? Okay. Hands in the pocket, occasionally kind of hands behind there. Occasional rocking if I'm really being charismatic. But, you know, this is the year I had to be made of. This is the year, and I remember doing this on a number of occasions, when I had to be made a fool of myself. God, you know, it's like King David dancing before the Lord. Yeah? No longer do I want street cred. I'm going to open myself up to God and praise him, whether it's on my knees, with my hands. That year I totally, I long for those times again, actually, where I just, you think Alan or Chris jump up and down? You should have seen me that year, you know, physically worshipping. And Lord, may it come back. There's something that's a key there. Not at church necessarily, this is at home, I mean. Yeah? Actually, all this stuff I'm going to say is at home. You can do it at church, but it's not half as important. Physical worship. That was a year when I knew my father and God as my father. Physical worship. The other one was obedience. I'm totally convinced this probably is the biggest one of the lot of them. Obedience. That if we're seeking more of the Spirit, God will ask us. He will look for obedience in certain areas. Now, I have no idea what that's going to be for you guys, but I just know it to be true. It's even, you think of Acts 2, wait in that upper room. You know, there was an act of obedience, wasn't there? There is something about God seeing our heart and us obeying him, and then the Spirit can move. What is it for you, this act of obedience? What is God saying to you? Can I suggest what it will be is something uncomfortable, generally is, because there's a link there with being obedient and being broken open, like the Spirit flowing out of you when kind of there's cracks in you and you're broken and you're kind of willing to be something you weren't before. Just to help you from my testimony, the things that came to me in that year were I had to speak forgiveness to people. It's a huge thing. I really didn't want to do it. Another one, you may not get this, but I'm a total introvert, and being in big meetings and being around people was quite a big deal. And this particular year, I'd kind of gone absent from meetings and different things, and there was one particular meeting I really didn't want to go to, but I knew the Lord wanted me to go, and I went totally begrudgingly. And something happened, and I experienced the Holy Spirit back in my room that night because of that obedience. There was one more thing, wasn't there? Oh, it was about jobs as well, but you don't need to know about that. There was an obedience thing on jobs. But for me, that was a year of obedience, and maybe I shouldn't be surprised that God, I experienced God more and the Holy Spirit more. So physical worship, obedience, and the third one is purity. It's obvious, really, isn't it? The Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't realize this, but this is kind of fun. So, okay, physical, we're going to remember this. Physical worship, obedience, purity. It makes the word pop in the sense of the Father being American word for pop. But if you want to remember it the other way, you can do. But I thought, wow, that is a coincidence. Physical obedience, physical worship, obedience, purity. There's got to be others, I know, but I just want to share my testimony there. And I'm pretty sure I can look you in the eye and say, what is God calling you to be obedient to today? Watch out for it, because it's an incredible door to more of the Holy Spirit. But I can guarantee you it won't be easy. Where are we up to? Last page. Good. I was left with a desire for more from those experiences. I would say the power and gifting came for me even later. This is, you know, but I just want to share that last one. This was kind of mid, I'm now about 30 something years old. It's like there's a long gap between this. There's 5 or 6 years between each, what I feel, you know, God really dealing with me. But, you know. And there was we went to a meeting in Dudley. It was kind of, I wouldn't say it was a revival meeting, but it was kind of an outpouring, kind of a, you know, receiving meeting. So I went all the way to kind of West Birmingham to receive, because I was hungry. I was hungry. And at that meeting, there was a long line. Kind of, oh, like it was at Stoneleigh those 15 years before. Long line of people to receive the Holy Spirit. And I thought, I'm going to do this. It's been 13 years since I've been in the long line, since Stoneleigh. I'm going to do this. See what's going to happen. But it was so different because of that God's work in my life, the Father thing particularly, and the kind of the acceptance and the love. I was standing there with the guy coming down to about pray for people. And I'm saying, Lord, it doesn't matter what you do to me. If you do nothing at all, I know I'm loved. I know I'm safe in the Father's arms. It really doesn't matter. And I was kind of like, because in the past when I was at Stoneleigh, you know, you're almost desperate to go over. So occasionally I'd be swaying, but it was all me. So this time I planted my feet. Father, I love you. He came up to me. I didn't even know he was there. Didn't even feel it because I had my eyes shut. I didn't care. Apparently he touched me. And I went back 3 or 4 meters. Never happened since. I'm just trying to say this to you for one reason, that I already knew I was loved. I already knew the Father's heart. And it didn't make any difference to me whether it happened or not. Okay, and actually, while I was kind of, while I was down, whatever it was really, what did I experience? Just that oil, that overwhelming Father's love thing again. Got up at church the next day, a few people shared, and I shared for the first time. I've never been asked before to share like that, and I didn't like sharing, you know, it's a big deal to share, really. So I got up and I said a few things, and I was like, got to the end of it, I enjoyed that. And suddenly I found I could talk. And actually, you know, when I look back, I received some gifting possibly that day, some power. But it was birthed in what I'd already received in Christ and based on the Father's heart. And I was seeking the Father. I was seeking God. And when I seek the Father and God, he gave me the good gifts. And that's the kind of holistic way I want to wrap this up, really, that yes, we seek the gifts, but if we seek the good Father, he will give the good gifts. You know, that's my little kind of hold on the diamond and saying, you know, that's what it looks like. So I'm there now, really, and I just want to finish with the question to me, because, gosh, there's 8 years since that last... It's 8 years gone. And I'm not actually quite in the place I was. I have to be honest with you, I can't stand here and say anything, but, you know, I'm a little bit drier at the minute. I am. I'm not... My heart is not seeking and desiring in the same way. And the question, I know the way back. I know the way back. For me, it is pop. Physical worship, obedience, purity. I know God will, my Father will speak and give me gifts. But why do I wait? And it's a big question to all this. Why do we, in the old-fashioned way, why do we tarry? What holds us back? And I haven't got all the answers. But I want you just to ask that question of yourself. Why do we wait? Why do we tarry? Is it a sense of fear of the unknown? Possible unworthiness? Is it unconfessed sin? Or is it possibly, and this is the one that's big for me at the minute, is it we've got too comfortable? For me, middle-aged comfortableness. There's a dashing of money in there somewhere as well for me. You know, the more secure you get, the less of needing of God. I was pretty much undone by a Francis Chan quote. Why would we need to experience the comforter if our lives are already comfortable? Ouch. And the bottom line for me is, I want to be in control of my own life too much still. I need to surrender again and get to that place of surrender where I have nothing else but you, Lord. And I want to finish, sorry to finish with a Tozer quote. You know what's coming, something hard-hitting. Here he goes. This is what Tozer said. To the interested inquirer, I bet you are an interested inquirer, I ask these questions. Are you sure you want to be possessed by a spirit who, while he is pure and gentle and wise and loving, will insist upon being Lord of your life? Are you sure you want your personality to be taken over by one who will require obedience to the written word, who will not tolerate any of those self-sins in your life, self-love or self-indulgence, who will not permit you to strut or boast or show off, who will take you in the direction of your life away from you and will reserve the sovereign right to test you and discipline you, who will strip you away from many loved objects which secretly harm your soul? Unless you can answer a yes to these questions, you don't really want to be filled. You may want the thrill or the victory of the power, but you don't really want to be filled with the Spirit. I know what I have to do, actually. For me, it's the quiet place at home. Physical worship. Pray to God that he'll open those steps of obedience again. Up. Do this, Gary, do this. And watch him work. And purity. It may be something different for you, but why do we wait? The way is so open because it's a loving Father who just wants to give us more. Can I pray? Just to say, I mean, I guess I'll be around for a communion, and I'll be at the front somewhere. And you know, please do seek me out. I'd love to pray with you today. But I also want to pray for your rooms at home. Lord, I pray that if there's anything of you in this, Holy Spirit, that we can take this home. We can be persistent, expectant. And Lord, we may see you breaking in, Lord, to those harder areas of our life that need breaking into. So I pray for that spirit of that will break in, Lord. Those areas that we've kind of left and given up on. Lord, give those steps of obedience this week, I pray, to these good people. Lord, may there be tangible, real, even painful things that you call them to do that lead to blessing and more of you in their lives. Amen.